Karen mentioned that I live in the Lucy Stone Cooperative, which is a housing cooperative grounded in the values and the tradition of Unitarian Universalism. It's a giant 11-bedroom house where 12 of us live together, sharing meals and chores. Yesterday we had a work day to clean up for the fall. We do programs and events with our neighbors and other co-opers and UUs. And we're exploring this question of what it means to live Unitarian Universalist values in the home and in community together. Whenever youth groups come to visit us and tour our house and see what we're doing there, we always ask them the same question. How do you know you're a Unitarian Universalist if you're not at church? How can you tell that you're a UU on a Tuesday morning or a Wednesday afternoon? And we ask them not because we've figured it out, certainly, but because that's the question we're exploring. What do our values tell us about the food we buy or the way we share meals together, about the way we make decisions or even take care of our building? One of the traditions that's become a part of our house is that we sing together every Sunday evening after dinner. We gather around the dinner table and invite our wider community to join us. We always begin with the hymn, Love Will Guide Us, and we always end with Amazing Grace. In between, there are lots of show tunes and sea shanties and a lot of Bob Dylan, particularly now that he's a Nobel Prize winner. But that evening, and particularly those two songs, have become a real touchstone of my week, something that I look forward to as a time to get grounded again, and particularly Amazing Grace. We sing all of the verses all the way through, which takes forever. And for the last verse in particular, we sing by candlelight. And for the last verse, we sing this addition added by the Quakers. We take hands for it, and we sing, Amazing Grace has set me free. To touch, to taste, to feel. The wonders of accepting love have made me whole and real. We take a deep breath together when we finish. We make eye contact at each person around the table. And for me, in that moment, something has shifted, and I feel a little more connected to the people around me, to the ground under my feet, to my own body. I have a little more courage to open my inbox on Monday morning when the time comes. This tradition of singing together began before we ever had a house. We've been there almost 6 years now, but it was another 2 years before that of getting this whole thing started. There was a team of us that went through this process of fundraising and visioning, lots of conversations with our wider community, and there was more fundraising, there was incorporating a nonprofit, search for real estate, and did I mention there was fundraising involved? They don't just give houses away in Boston, believe me. It was this incredible adventure that we went on. We didn't know how to do any of this when we came together. We didn't know how to apply for a mortgage or a loan, how to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars, how to form a nonprofit. We would just get together and say, well, we have a month to figure out how to apply for a mortgage. How about you two agree to do that and come back next month and tell us how, okay? And you two figure out where to get $100,000 and come back in a month and tell us how. All we knew how to do was to ask our community for help. But in the end, that was enough. It was this incredible adventure of highs and lows, and one of the most difficult parts of it came at the very end of the process. We had found the perfect house, we had made an offer which had been accepted, we'd set a date to sign all the paperwork and move in and be done with it, and then the date got pushed back a little bit, and then it got pushed back a little bit more, and then a little more, and we came together for a meeting in this time to kind of assess the situation, and it seemed like for reasons totally beyond our control, this whole thing just might not work out. We just had to wait and see, wait to hear from the lawyers about whether this was going to work. And there was nothing done to be done except just wonder if this whole 2 years of work would just slip through our fingers. And we didn't know how to move forward, and we didn't know what to do. And so someone suggested that we finish our meeting by singing together. And we sang a song asking for guidance. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain. We took a deep breath when we finished. We made eye contact at each person around the circle. And for me, at least in that moment, something had shifted. And I recognized that this work of trying to live our values in covenant in relationship with each other had begun whether we ever had a building or not. That was the house that we eventually moved into a few months later. And just on October 1st, a couple weeks ago, we opened our second house, the Margaret Mosley Cooperative, a 16-bedroom house where families are raising children together, grounded in the values and tradition of Unitarian Universalism. I think of these moments now as song at the sea moments. There's a part of the Exodus story in the Hebrew Bible where the Israelites are fleeing slavery in Egypt. They pass through the Sea of Reeds. You remember how that happened. Charlton Heston raises up his staff. Mighty wind comes and parts the way, and they make their way to safety on the other side. And they throw this huge killer party when they get there. The women get out their drums, which is always how you get a good party started. And they celebrate this holy moment. And what's so amazing about this song at the sea, the celebration that they have, is that they haven't actually arrived at the promised land. They're actually just beginning to enter the wilderness, and they know that most of them will never get to their destination. But they celebrate anyway because they're making their way there. They're on the journey together in covenant with each other and with their God. In Unitarian Universalism, we don't necessarily agree on whether there is a promised land waiting for us in the next life or whether we can create one here on this earth. But we do recognize that the journey towards a better future is a sacred one. And we celebrate that song. And the song at the sea, I think, is our song to sing as well. Because we know that this world can feel a lot like being lost in the wilderness, right? I know in my own life, the food that I eat doesn't always reflect the values I have of how I want to be in relationship to farm workers or with the earth or even with my own body. That's true for me. Is it true for some of you? The way that I'm in relationship with my neighbors or coworkers or even my family members, the people that I love most, doesn't always reflect the values I have about compassion in my relationships. That's true for me. Is it true for some of you? And particularly today in this era of Black Lives Matter, when we recognize that because of mass incarceration, youth of color are living in greater poverty now than when Martin Luther King was shot 50 years ago or so. We recognize that so many youth of color are being imprisoned, that we are criminalizing the working poor and black and brown bodies. I recognize that not only are individual greed and prejudice still with us, but there are systems of inequality. Systems that I'm a part of, and I don't even know what to do about it, and it makes me frustrated and angry. That's true for me. Is it true for some of you? Yes. This world can feel a lot like being lost in the wilderness. This world as it is not the world as I would like it to be, and I'm not always the person I would like myself to be. But that space between where we are and where we're headed, that wilderness between the sea and the promised land, is the space that we step into together where Unitarian Universalism is lived, where we live this faith in relationship on the journey as we make it. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel spoke of this in his own tradition. He said, "Harsh and bitter are the problems that religion has come to solve. Anger, greed, and malice, power, agony, and despair." He said, these problems can't be solved with philosophical symbols or generalities. Our problem is, do we mean what we say, and do we believe what we confess? When he spoke those words over 50 years ago, I don't think he could have imagined the ways that power and despair would become such cornerstones of our economy. I don't think he could have imagined that fossil fuel companies, for instance, would be among the first to know that they were causing climate change, and instead of seeking solutions, would fund bad research to sow doubt about it. I don't think he could have foreseen the way that mass incarceration would put a whole generation of our community members, of our youth, in prison, the way that agony and despair would become such cornerstones of our so-called justice system. So we know that there is a wilderness around us, and that the promised land that we've envisioned as Unitarian Universalists, a land of justice and equity and compassion that we've articulated in our values, that we've envisioned in our hearts, is so far beyond any horizon that we can see today. But what we recognize is that when we gather together in communities like this, we can hear the stories of the struggle around us, of those struggling with all of these issues, with health care, with poverty. We can hear those stories and recognize that there is work to be done. But we also come together and recognize that we're not alone in doing it, that we have each other for the work. If that's been your experience, would you say out loud right now, there's work to do? And would you say, we're not alone? And that's what Unitarian Universalists all over the country are discovering more and more. That when we gather together in communities like this, communities of love and justice, we can act together in ways that we could never do alone. We can lift up our voice into the public sphere. We can change and shape the communities and the whole world around us. Unitarian Universalists are going out into the streets and into the state houses and courthouses, calling for a reform of our justice system, calling for a new system that recognizes the inherent worth and dignity of every single person. Unitarian Universalists have vowed as a denomination to divest from fossil fuels, and individuals and congregations all over the country are following suit, saying we will not be betting on companies that are betting against the future of our children. Unitarian Universalists are lifting up our voice in the public sphere to stand on the side of love, just as we celebrated the victory of marriage equality, which we played such a leadership role in as people of faith, speaking to how marriage equality was central to our faith, central to the work of love. We recognize that respecting the love of families in all different kinds of ways, looking at where love shows up, not just in marriage equality, but in the right to support your family with only one job, the right to drive down the street and not be pulled over and arrested or murdered for the color of your skin. Love in families shows up in all kinds of ways, and we're coming together to tell those stories, to recognize that there is work to be done, and to recognize that we're not alone in doing that work. Reverend Dr. Mark Morrison Reed talks about this. He says it's the church that assures us that we're not struggling for justice on our own, but as part of this larger community. Alone, he says, our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength is too limited to do all that must be done. But together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed. If that's been your experience, would you say out loud right now, our vision widens? And say, our strength is renewed. We recognize that when we gather together in these communities of love and justice, when we do the work of covenant, the work of being in relationship, the work of justice and equity and compassion in our lives, in our congregations, and out in our communities, when we go on beyond the borders and the barriers that divide us, we live a faith that lifts us up, a faith that stands on the side of love, a faith that journeys into the wilderness towards that promised land together. Because as we travel, our vision widens and our strength is certainly renewed. Would you say our vision widens? And our strength is renewed. May it be so.